Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
She keeps lighting up the way, even on the darkest day. Dawn is breaking, all awaken from the night. From the shore into the waves, washing all the bitterness away, lifting darkness with your stillness and your grace. It's you I like, and you mean everything to me. It's you I like, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. It's all right, yeah. Shine bright, light up the skies above. Shine bright, do it with the ones you love. Shine bright, and never, ever, ever let it die. Shine bright, light up the stars above. Shine bright, and do it in the name of love. Shine bright, and I promise to never let it die. And if they ever make me choose, you know exactly what I'm gonna do. Second guessing, it's you I choose. Yeah, yeah, 'cause you are light, and I see everything I need. Yes, you are light. Yeah, yeah. Shine bright, light up the skies above. Shine bright, do it with the one.
Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, Almighty God Allah, in person. And we forever give praise and thanks to him for coming in our midst and leaving amongst us a divine reminder in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites. Be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Again, my beloved family, let me say to you all, As-salamu alaykum, and welcome to another edition of the most powerful platform for truth anywhere, bar none, on the face of God's green earth. This is your platform for black education, edification, and liberation. This is the Star and Crescent Report, and our show today is titled, Behind the Smile of the Empire, There's Always Something More Sinister. Now, apparently, the Star and Crescent Report and myself, being the host of the Star and Crescent Report, has been deemed a national security threat. So, and hate speech. So, I won't go into all that, but you know why I have not been on the air. Okay? All right? Not only was I not on Blog Talk Radio, but for some peculiar reason, I was banned off Facebook for almost the exact length of time. Isn't that something? Well, truth hurts the guilty, and they're going to get more of that even if they put me off the air. I'm looking for alternatives or whatever. I also want you to go over to the Health Blaze at thehealthblaze.com and support the sponsor of the Hiram 1555 blog and the Star and Crescent Report, and also go check out Goodfella Sports on YouTube at Goodfella Sports TV, which is also a sponsor of the Star and Crescent Report and the Hiram's 1555 blog. Brothers and sisters, please donate, help the show, help the website to grow and continue to put out this truth. Now, let's go into our main subject today, because God is good all the time. As I was looking at the situation that is facing America and the Western world, especially as they muted the Star and Crescent Report and they were hitting the Hiram 1555 blog with viruses constantly to try to delete articles, something came to mind about a passage in the Bible when it talks about the wrath of Satan. And it talked about that Satan would come, having been loose from out of being bound up for so long, he would come down having great wrath because he knows he has but a short time. If you look at all of the measures that the American empire and the Western world is taking right now, they're mad at everybody. They're provoking everybody, right? They're over in North Korea telling North Korea what to do, trying to tell them what to do. They're in the South China Sea saying that they're freedom of navigation. Now, mind you, I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. The reason I hit these points on is because I have to lay down a pattern for you to understand. Because this is a pattern here. This, and when a person continues to put out a certain nature of that, right? This is what they do in the jungle. This is how they know, they study wildlife, and they follow the patterns of that wildlife, and then if that wildlife does X, Y, and Z so many times, they attributed that to the nature, right, of that wildlife or that species. Is that not right? Of course it is. You know what I'm saying is right. So, if you look, she's provoking Russia. She's provoking Iran. She's over in Syria illegally. She's over in Venezuela, over in Brazil, over through all of the South, almost all of the Latin American states, the leadership of those states that were joining with the Eastern world to isolate America. Didn't mention democracy one time when DeLula, Silva DeLula from Brazil, who, when they took a poll, was the most popular politician in the history of the nation of Brazil, when he was illegally thrown in jail and then prevented from putting himself in democratic elections because they said between 80 and 90% of the people would have voted for him. America didn't cry out for that, did it? So she cries out for democracy so long as democracy benefits her policy, what I'm trying to show you. So she will overthrow, she will stoke, she will provoke, she will sanction, she will lie, she will deceive to get her way. Right? This is a pattern here. And this pattern is much larger with America, but if you look at her sister nations, they share the same pattern. Why is that? Why is that? Is it some random thing or some surprise thing of the people? No. This is a pattern, a nature. It's showing the nature of something, right? She says, listen to this, and we're going to go into the economics of this because I have to show you all of this stuff is tied together. So she says that we're deploying warships to the South China Sea as a peace mission. She didn't say, and I want you to pay close attention to this. She didn't say that she was deploying 60% of her peace ships, her peace helicopters. She said her gunships, her warships, and her war helicopters and warplanes that was going to be there for peace missions. How in the hell can you even fathom that idea? See, this is the double speak, the double talk of empire. This is what the devil does. He'll lie and he'll turn. He'll tell you, you'll look outside the window and you'll see the sky. And the clouds are gray. And he'll tell you it's a sunny day. And if he tells it to you 100 times, again and again, through his media, through his newspapers, through his blogs, you'll start to believe him. Even though your eyes and reality is telling you something else, right? He says that after provoking Iran, deploys her B-2 bombers there. Right? Her so-called fifth-generation warplanes there. Two aircraft carrier groups, each one of them having between 18 and 20-some warships apiece. With dozens, I think one aircraft carrier carries between 50 and 75 warplanes. And she has two of them on the shore of Iran. Right? And she says, this is not to attack Iran. This is not a provocation. We're there to prevent something. What if they did them like that? What I'm trying to show you is a pattern here. The nations that are rising up against America, she is feeling more and more cornered because not only are they rising up against her politically, they're rising up against her economically, and they're building up their war chest to rebuff the military onslaught of what would be a military offensive by the empire. All of this stuff costs money, right? All of this stuff costs money. Whether you know it or not. So as we look in the backdrop of these things here, and you see Pompeo smiling, right? And you see Trump smiling, remember that behind the smile of the empire, there's always something more sinister. Their motive is always more sinister than what they put before you. So let us go into a clip real quick because we want to bounce some economics because we're just talking about the geopolitical side of things, and then we're going to tie that back into the economics, and we're going to show you that the reason these things are happening is because America is dazed, desperate, and confused because the judgment is upon her. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something, that this is just the tip of the iceberg. Because think about it. For the past 60, 70, 80, even close to 100 years, America has been the most relevant and the most dominant and the most influential and wealthiest nation on the planet. Whether by hook or crook, she's been that, right? And now her wealth is being destroyed. Her standing in amongst the nations is being uprooted. Her influence around the globe is being rebuffed. Even her military prowess is being challenged and rebuffed and beat back. This is something that she was not believing that could happen to her after the Soviet Union collapsed. She no longer considered herself a superpower. That title was no longer sufficient for the American empire. Not even she moved up to we are the world's only superpower. And then just a couple years after that, that was no longer suitable for a power like America in her own eyes. So she said that we are no longer a superpower. We are no longer the world's only global superpower. We are the world's first and only hyperpower. We make and dictate the rules to everybody else. And we are the exceptional nation because we are the exception to any other rules that we dictate to everyone else. This is written in the Bible. This is written in the Bible. That she would do these things, that she would say these things. Right? But she got trapped up here. In that book called Fall of America, Elijah Muhammad explained to you how she got trapped up. God had laid a snare for her. And the snare was for her to build up her political might. See, when you're on the ascent, when you rising, and you knocking off your competitors, and you're getting ready to challenge for a world title, you're real huffed and puffed up because you've made mincemeat of everybody who threatened you or challenged you, and you're thinking it's easy game with anybody else that has been in the position of power. And so once you beat the so-called champion and you take that reign, you're feeling yourself. This is what America did. This is what she did. But all the while she built up her military might, all as she expanded her tentacles around the world, it came with a price of debt and more debt and more debt. And when she was constrained by the gold and the silver standard, she removed it. That's why Elijah Muhammad said, when the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. Right? She couldn't see that. She thought she had gotten over that by getting the petrol dollar. She thought that if she put enough military bases around all the strategic waterways, all the strategic land areas, all the strategic gas and oil pipelines and all of the rare minerals and stuff, that would be enough to cow the nations through the barrel of a gun. She thought that she had overcome prophecy. I'll never forget this, and we'll go to the clip. We'll go to the clip. If you think what I'm saying is not the truth, go Google this. Maybe you can put it up on the YouTube. As a matter of fact, I would prefer you to listen to it on YouTube. When the Berlin Wall came down, America said the wall came down without a shot being fired. They thought they had beaten prophecy because Elijah Muhammad told us about the bloodshed that would come, right? And how war would break out in Europe. And how East and West Germany would fight it out. And they thought that they had reunified Germany without bloodshed, and they had torn down that wall. Right? They did not understand that that was a snare laid for them. Because if you go Google it, East and West Germany are still at each other's throats. Regardless to the so-called unified front that the media puts on it, go Google what I'm saying. They're always at each other. The East feels more loyalty towards Russia and Russia's Eastern Bloc. And the West feels more, the Western Germany feels more loyalty towards America and her Western Bloc. And this is causing tensions to heat up within Germany itself. Did you know that? Do you know that they're constantly protesting in Berlin? they thought they had beaten prophecy, and all they did was get caught in a snare that is laid by the divine supreme being. Now, let's go to something, because this is about this tariff war. All of this will make sense to you. All of this will make sense to you. Because remember what I said. When the world went off the gold and silver standard, the financial doom of England and America was sealed. These are the words of Elijah Muhammad, page 87, Fall of America, the chapter called Decline of the Dollar. He wrote that, and let me tell you how important that chapter is. Because this man was a strategic and is a strategic thinker. So if he says something repetitive, you might say, oh, I've read that before. He is trying to drive a point home. That's just like when you go to college and the professor is teaching you a lesson and he outlines things in your syllabus. And you say, oh, he outlined that same thing over here. And he outlined that same thing over here. He is outlining some of the greatest magnitude or the greatest importance for your success. Right? The same thing happened. So it was no mistake that chapter, The Decline of the Dollar, was also put in a book called The Message to the Black Man. Right? Man, I'm telling you, listen. He was trying to get it over to you, black man and woman here in America, that America's fall would come upon the decline of the American dollar. Because the decline of the dollar means the decline of her influence globally, her standing globally and domestically. And what you would see was a deterioration of living standards, right? And that you would see a society ravaged by racism and cultural divide and a rich versus poor divide. Is that not exploding across America right here and right now? If it's not, tell me and I eat the Bible without salt and pepper. So, that chapter was so important that he thought it so important that he put it in both books, Fall of America and Message to the Black Man. It is because this would be the noose around the empire's throat that would gradually choke off the life support system to the American empire. She's still feeling herself because she's drunk on who she was. But reality will set in, and it's starting to set in, like with this war that she's activated with China, as I've been telling you on this show. That's crackhead politics, right? You go get your dope from this man, then you want to hold a gun to this man's head, but you can't get no dope from nobody else. Threatening this man when this man is giving you your high, helping you out with your family. That's insanity. This is what America, China holds, not only, listen, because I don't think you understand this. Not only does China hold a massive amount of U.S. Treasury bonds, a massive amount, but China also holds over $1 trillion in U.S. monetary assets. See, sometimes this gets convoluted. It gets pushed together, and you think they're both one and the same. These are two different weapons that the Chinese can use against the American economy to bring it to yield and to its knees. You understand? And I want to point out something to you before we go into this clip. Notice everybody that is challenging the dollar. Notice everybody that is challenging America's economic position in the world are now deemed threats to America's national security and are now under U.S. sanctions and the threat of military force, whether it be a bluff or not, from Venezuela to Syria, from Syria to Pakistan, from Pakistan to Turkey, from Turkey over to China, and from China to America's peer, a peer, her P-E-E-R, her peer, Russia. But I wanted to lay that out as you listen to this madness of the American empire, how she activated tariffs on a nation that funds her deficits, her deficit spending, funds her government budget, right? A nation that manufactures over 90% of all things that are on her shelves, a nation that manufactures the microchips that go into the warplanes, the warships, and the missiles that America manufactures herself. She gets the microchips from China. You gonna sanction the nation that's funding you? That is like you getting a loan from the bank, and you gonna say, I'm gonna sanction the bank because the bank won't continue to give me money. The madness of this thinking. This shows you that she has been inebriated. She's drunk on who she used to be. This is part of the judgment that the Bible and the Holy Quran tells us that God would feed them their own blood as if it was sweet wine. Let's go into this clip here. All right? I want you to pay close attention. Keep your hand up, 404. I'll get to you shortly. But I want you to listen to this. This is about a four-minute clip on the madness of the American empire. Let's go.
We begin this hour with the almost year-long U.S.-China trade war. Today, it may only be getting worse. A major tariff hike President Trump threatened last week took effect at the stroke of midnight, showing that the White House was not backing down from the threat. Now, could this derail this week's trade talks that are already off to a rocky start? RT Sarah Montes de Oca is joining us now live with more details. Sarah, is this definitive? Are the tariffs now just set in stone?
Well, Manila, it appears these tariffs won't be coming off, at least not for today. U.S.-China trade talks ended just about an hour ago with no announcement of a deal. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin called the discussions constructive. The U.S. escalated the tariffs, as Trump promised. He's hiking levies on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. Earlier this week, Beijing said it would retaliate against the U.S. if these tariffs were raised. Now, earlier today, the Chinese Commerce Ministry said it deeply regrets the move and reiterated that Beijing cannot but take necessary countermeasures. Still, no details were released as to how or when China will retaliate just yet. But still, earlier today, the spokesperson for China's foreign ministry repeated its call for the U.S. to meet them halfway.
As for China-U.S. relations, I'd like to point out that a sound and stable relationship is in line with both countries' interests and meets the aspirations of the international community. We hope that the U.S. will meet us halfway and work together to jointly build a coordinative, cooperative, and stable relationship in this regard. We should get along with each other.
But it appears that neither side is backing down, at least not yet. Trump says there's absolutely no need to rush to reach a deal with China. In a tweet, he wrote, "Tariffs will make our country much stronger, not weaker. Just sit back and watch. In the meantime, China should not renegotiate deals with the U.S. at the last minute."
Well, Sarah, how did we end up here? Because I could have sworn at the beginning of the year we were doing really good with the trade talks. President Trump even kicked the can down the road from issuing the tariffs that would have come into effect in January. So what happened?
Well, Manila, there seems to be a level of distrust here. And the second part of Trump's tweet there is really key. Over the weekend, it appears China may have reneged on some of their concessions to the U.S. Beijing sent a diplomatic cable with systematic edits to the nearly 150-page draft. Now, the document was allegedly riddled with reversals on some pretty core demands made by the U.S. and agreed to previously by China. China had apparently deleted commitments that it had made to change specific laws and resolve core issues like intellectual property theft, forced technology transfers, and foreign access to Chinese markets. But a spokesperson for the Ministry of Commerce denied reneging on any part of the deal, saying, quote, "The U.S. has assigned a lot of labels such as backtracking, going back on one's word, and so on. Lots of broken promises have been foisted on China." He went on to say negotiation is a process of exchanging opinions and reaching consensus. It is normal to have different views. So at the moment, it seems like a game of telephone gone bad, with U.S. officials claiming last week that China was making key concessions, but now frustrated that those didn't materialize. It's unclear how the Chinese felt about what may have been premature leaks and claims put out in the media just last week. Parting ways with no deal is likely to cause even more chaos on the already volatile world economy, especially since Trump is saying that there may be more tariffs to come. But still, it remains unclear when Washington and Beijing will meet again, and this gives each side a few weeks to avoid escalation and potentially ease tensions. Back to you, Manila.
Hey, YouTube, thanks for checking out our channel. We hope you enjoyed the video. We have tons of content for you, just like
you here. And so, and I'm going to get to you, 4-4, so keep your hand up, 4-4, and the number starts with 8. change yourself. If it's that important, then why every time you go into negotiation, it's not China that's asking for the negotiations. You are the one that keeps asking for them. You are the one that keeps sending ambassadors over there to talk to them. And whenever they don't bow to your dictates, your demands, what do? You do something provocative. You send warships over in the South China Sea as though China will flutter and get scared and walk away. The same thing you've done with Russia. Look at this. In Iran. Look, they put all this weaponry around Iran, telling them what they're going to do. And Iran's general said, you're not going to do nothing to us. Matter of fact, if war breaks out, we're going to hit you straight on the chin. We're not running from you. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, when Iran didn't flinch, you know what America says? Well, we'll give them our number. They can call us. We'll be looking for a call. No, if you this big bad monster. What about Russia? Are Russian emissaries in D.C. trying to talk to Trump, or is Pompeo in Moscow talking to Putin? These are things that you should look at. This shows you the declining power of America, regardless of how the media tries to put this. This is in line with prophecy. Allah is bringing America down by degrees from which she cannot perceive. And like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us in Our Savior Has Arrived when he says, America won't, and I'm paraphrasing, America will not tell you the seriousness of her losses until you see the fire on your heels. This is what they're talking about. So, you think about this. I hold trillions of dollars in your debt. I hold over a trillion, close to a trillion and a half in your dollar denomination. And I manufacture the microchips in your computers, your missiles, your helicopters, your warplanes, your warships. And I manufacture 90 to 93% of all goods that's on your shelves. And you're going to sanction me. Do you see the madness in it? This is what God has smitten America with. He has smitten them with derision. This is what I continue to tell you. Because they're not making sense in their move. See, in their mind, they think that they are rational. But any sane person can see the irrational moves by the empire. You understand? As a matter of fact, let me show you something. Okay? Now, I'm looking at a clip here on Fox News. I don't have it downloaded. But Larry Kudlow, who used to be on, I think, CNBC or something like that, had a show on there. He becomes one of Trump's financial people in the administration, right? And a few months ago, he was talking about how America has the upper hand in the trade talks, right? And listen to their reasoning. Because China holds so much of our debt, we have the upper hand. Now, let us break this down for a minute. That is the same as saying because the mortgage company, let's just make up one, mortgage company Star and Crescent Report holds your deed to your house, your land, your cars, you got more leverage over the Star and Crescent Mortgage Company than the Star and Crescent Mortgage Company have over you and your life. Do you see the madness? This is what I'm talking about, bizarro world. Well, up is down. Right is wrong, and in is out. But you buy this stuff, and then Trump comes out, you heard, well, we're gonna do this, and we're going to do that, and then we're going to help the farmers because we believe that's what China is going to do. And this will be good for us. The tariffs will be good, and it'll bring us extra money. Then after Kudlow said what he said a few months ago, Kudlow comes back, and this is what they're writing in the article. Economic advisor Larry Kudlow contradicts Trump, admits tariffs do hurt American consumers. Let's read a little bit. During last week's seemingly random escalation of the trade war with China, President Trump claimed that the increase in tariffs from 10% to 25% on $200 billion of Chinese-made products will force the country of China to pay $100 billion dollars to the U.S. Treasury. But like so many tweets from the Donald J. Trump account, that's not exactly how tariffs work. The levies will be paid by U.S. importers of tariffed Chinese goods. So listen, and I'm going to stop right there for a minute. You know what they're saying to you? Trump is actually taxing businesses and poor people. You understand? This is what it's essentially saying, because if the tariffs go up, that means businesses have to pay more money for goods that they used to could get cheaper. And if they have to do that, then guess what they're going to do to the prices of the goods that they have to buy? They're going to raise the prices, and you, the poor man, will be stuck holding the bag. So he remembers no taxes, no, but he's hitting you with a double tax. You understand? Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm not no finance dude, but I understand that. But let's go a little further. The levies will be paid by U.S. importers of tariffed Chinese goods, who will take a hit on their profit margins, or more likely, push those costs onto consumers. According to an Oxford Economics estimate, the tariff increase will cost the U.S. economy $62 billion by 2020. And that's the low estimate, breaking down to up to $800 per household in America. So they're not taxing China. They're taxing you. Don't believe the foolishness. See, this man is a liar. This is what I'm trying to get to you. This man is a liar. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. So he's entering into a trade war with China, and we're going to go to a clip in a minute, but let me read what China had to come out and say today. This is the headline. China to emerge victorious from trade war with U.S. This comes from the Chinese Foreign Ministry. Listen, we'll read a little bit of it. In Beijing, this is what they said. Beijing is determined to win the trade war with the United States, though it does not want the economic conflict to grow in intensity. China's foreign ministry spokesman said after the two countries again exchanged tariffs on each other's imports. China does not want a trade war, but we are not afraid of it. If someone brings the war to us, we will fight it until we win. Or what? Let's read that part again. This is what the Chinese Foreign Ministry said. China does not want a trade war, but we are not afraid of it. If someone brings the war to us, we will fight it until we win. Now, isn't that something? So, having that in mind, let us go to this clip, all right? And we'll be right back. This is a 5-minute clip, so pay close attention.
We begin this hour with trade, as the world's two largest economies continue in a tit-for-tat trade war. Earlier today, Beijing reiterated it would retaliate against Trump's tariffs imposed on Friday. And it did. It announced new duties on billions of dollars worth of U.S. goods. RT Sarah Montes de Oca joins me with the details. Sarah, it seems like the talks went down, but prices are going to go up here for us.
That's right, Scotty. Beijing, just like Trump, stuck to their word. After a week of saying they would retaliate, but not saying how, the response finally came today. And the White House is taking the pushback very seriously, with Trump saying the deal was 95% done. Now, he'll meet with President Xi Jinping at next month's G20 summit, and said he plans to take more action to help the nation's farmers who are already struggling in the midst of the escalating trade war.
China has been taking advantage of the United States for many, many years. I'm not just talking about during the Obama administration. You can go back long before that. I love the position we're in. There can be some retaliation, but it can't be very, very substantial by comparison. And out of the billions of dollars that we're taking in, a small portion of that will be going to our farmers, because China will be retaliating probably to a certain extent against our farmers.
For their part, Beijing announced retaliatory tariffs on $60 billion in U.S. goods starting June 1st. Here's what you as a consumer may need to see, or will see. The steepest penalties will hit textile products. Now, there will be certain kinds of beef and pork products, coffee and technology such as microwave ovens, printers, and solar batteries. Now, the new tariffs would range anywhere from 5 to 25%. Tensions increased last week when President Trump imposed a 25% tariff on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. Now, he told aides that he plans to hit even more than $300 billion in other Chinese goods. Now, something he repeated earlier today, and Trump again warned the Chinese against escalating the trade war, saying China will be hurt very badly if you don't make a deal because companies will be forced to leave China for other countries. But the ongoing trade war could also cost the average American family hundreds of dollars in higher prices on consumer goods. Experts say the exact number will really depend on how extreme the White House gets with protectionist policies, and according to Oxford Economics, at the high end, this could cost U.S. households as much as $800. But still, after the 11th round of trade talks ended on Friday with no deal in sight, China's vice premier said Beijing was still cautiously optimistic.
I don't think the negotiation has broken down. On the contrary, I think it is just a small setback in the talks between the two countries, which is inevitable. We are still cautiously optimistic for the future. The U.S. side said we had promised something in the documents and we wanted to change it. We believe that before the two sides reach a deal, any change is normal. It is something that happens in the process. So I don't think China stepped back, and we don't agree with the word renege.
Well, Scotty, it seems like China seems optimistic, but Beijing isn't holding back either as they retaliated with tariffs like they said they would. And the two countries may be going further away and going backwards on the deal than they were before.
Sarah, there is no way this could have a positive effect on the markets, both here at home as well as abroad. What is going on, especially Boeing comes to mind right now, as there's obviously some tensions going on within that company right now.
Well, the U.S. The markets are rattled. They've been rattled since last week, like a roller coaster, really. The Dow Jones went down 460 points earlier today, and that was after the China tariff announcement. And European markets are also struggling. So Trump has been tweeting out that he wants a deal with China, but it's safe to say that the whole world wants a deal. Boeing also, their shares, who are already struggling after the landing of their best-selling aircraft, their shares went down 4.5% this afternoon. And not only that, but editor-in-chief of Chinese English editions of the Global Times tweeted out, China may stop purchasing U.S. agricultural products and energy to reduce Boeing orders and restrict U.S. service trade with China. China is a huge consumer and buyer of Boeing aircrafts, and if they stop purchasing those, we may be heading to worse and more tension.
Sarah, I just shake my head, because a week ago we were actually being very optimistic. There was a caravan of 50 of them that had come here to the United States. They were going to have these talks. We were going to have a deal by Friday, and everything just seemed to fall apart. And once again, it's a he said
why. President Trump said that it was 95. The deal was 95% done. China again says that they're reneging. They didn't renege.
We don't know why. What was that 5% that was missing?
We're not sure.
Maybe you'll have that for us tomorrow. Let's hope. Thank you, Sarah.
Hey. So you heard that. Now, this is America's MO here. I'm going to point out something to you guys, and then you can tell me whether or not I'm telling you the truth on this. America escalates tension with nations, and then she warns them not to strike back. And then she'll say, now she's the aggressor. Then she'll say, don't escalate. Look, listen to what she did to Russia. She overthrew Russia's Slavic brothers in Ukraine and placed in the stead who she wanted, and kept saying that Russia is in Ukraine. And Russia did her best to prove that she wasn't. And when Russia looked up, America had NATO troops in Ukraine. You see this? I'm serious. I want you to look at this. This is what the beast does. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that the white American people are the most deceitful of them all. Germany runs a close second, but this man here in America will make up look like down, in and out, and left look like right. This is the way he is. It flows through his blood and out of his body like a web comes out of a spider. It's that easy. That's why he's called the arch deceiver. As a deceiver, he has no equal. So he says, he overthrows, and then you listen to this. Then you have it on tape. The people in the Foreign Affairs Department or the State Department, we invested $5 billion to overthrow Ukraine and put in our people. We did it. But Russia is meddling in Ukraine politics. Russia is escalating, so we need to sanction them, right? I'm just pointing this out to you because this is a pattern. Again, we look at patterns. When the white man looks at you, if you go before him in the court, before he ever looks in your face, when you walk in that courtroom, he has stacks of paper, files on it. And while you're talking, he's looking down on his desk, read what was written, your motive, things that they accuse you of, things that you may be guilty of, things that you might have been innocent, things that you may have been acquitted of, things that you forgot about. He's looking at it right down there, right? And he's making a pre-assumption, a judgment about you through the files that they have. He is looking at something that what they measure as what they call a measurement of your characteristics, your nature. This is what he's looking at, right? But you don't use that same thing, that same mindset when it comes to him. So if we look, he says, Russia's in Syria. But Russia is Syria's ally. Iran is in Syria. You in Syria. But you the only one that ain't legitimate. Nobody asked you that. But Russia. And then you bomb Syrian forces and you say, we have the right to self-defense. Brothers and sisters, you know what that is like. That is like some troops from Iran in Mississippi fighting. And Iran bombs U.S. troops at the National Guard place. And Iran says, well, they were there, and we have freedom of flight over there, and we have the right to self-defense. Do you think that would fly in the eyes of America? Do you think that that would fly in the eyes of sound reasoning and judgment? Huh? What about India? We want you to do X, Y, and Z. India wouldn't bow to it, so America sanctioned them, right? And now they're twisting India's arm, and India looks like it's pulling over to America's arm. And they say, listen, we sanction you, but don't you sanction us back. I'm telling you, go Google this, brother. So this stuff just happened in the last week. I'm telling you this. They say they go into Afghanistan. I'm showing you a pattern here. Right? And they call the Afghanis terrorists. Now, they don't live there. They're not from there. Right? They're 10,000 miles away. They're bombing these people illegally and occupying these people's land illegally, and the people fighting back with AK-47s and improvised explosives. And yet, those people who are from that land are the terrorists. And then they say, well, we want to talk to the Taliban. But first, you got to lay down your weapons. Hold up. You just bum-rushed my house. You done killed my sister and my brother. And I got the only weapon I got is this AK-47 keeping you from killing my mama. And you telling me before we can have peace talk, before you leave my land, before you leave my property, I got to put down my weapon while you, your brother, your cousin, and your whole family tree got my house surrounded with sawed-off weapons and machine guns. It doesn't hold weight. But this is the mind of a lunatic, a berserker nation. So, with all that saying, you see she's losing out in the trade war. But this goes back to Elijah Muhammad. While I'm talking, let's go to the fall of America. We'll go to page 133, I believe it is. 133 it is. Let's go. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. And I want you to pay close attention here. The refusal of white America to do something about justice for her so-called free slaves is bringing her into the same type of judgment that God brought upon ancient Babylon. See, Babylon mistreated those sacred vessels in her midst. And this brought the surrounding kings, people. Like, if you look at it today, you can see the whole picture of why Babylon fell and how it fell and how she became broke and impoverished and surrounded by her enemies, right? It wasn't really because of her mishandling of her money. It was her mishandling of those sacred vessels which resided in Babylon. And this caused a domino effect. God attacked her money. He attacked her culture. He attacked her standing, her political will, her military, right? Her farmlands, her independence and sovereignty of a nation. He did all that because of the mistreatment of the sacred vessels. I want you to pay close attention. This is the point here. All right? The refusal of white America to do something about justice for her so-called free slaves is bringing her into the same type of judgment that God brought up upon ancient Babylon. Jeremiah 51:45 mentions a warning to the people of God to flee out of Babylon, meaning her way of life, her thinking, her actions, her mannerism, her politics, her culturism. Get out of it. Isolate your mind and stay it on God. It goes further and says, could this be referring to the captive Jews in ancient Babylon? If God called the Jews his people, it was for a sign of a future people that he would choose to call his people, the American so-called Negro. This is us. So America's being tortured and tormented by rising powers, the same as ancient Babylon was, for her mistreatment of those sacred vessels who were held captive in Babylon. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's go over a little bit further. So this is what it says. We're going to go over to 135. Pay close attention. Well, we'll do it 134 first because it's something down at the bottom I just saw. America is at war with God through God's people. Talking about the so-called American Negro. How is that? Look at how she mistreats you. Look at how she keeps you away from her political equality, from her economic equality, right? She only allows certain people to go over there. Then when you get out of line, like Bill Cosby, like Michael Jackson, she shows you just how much of an American you are, right? She mistreats you, and those of you that she can't deprive of justice, you know what she does? When she can't deprive you of it at home, she gets you in her political system and gets you corrupted, and so she can handle you any kind of way. And those of you who she can't get like that, she corrupts you through sport, through play, through music. If she can't get you like that, guess what she does? She gets you in her military and sends you to fight these outrageous and outlandish wars. If you are able to come back home, you come back messed up mentally, or you come back with a limb missing, your life is never the same. She's at war with God through his people. You understand? But listen, the confusion and the plagues of the country with disasters one after another is divine retaliation against white America's evil doing and intentions against her one slave. Now, I said that to say this, we're going to go over to 135 because it's something to do with the economics, something to do with the military component, something to do with America losing her throne as the so-called superior or supreme power globally. Let's go. Walk with me over to 135. Divine plagues and foreign wars are now destroying the American standard of life and money. Stop right there. How was that? Billions was lost just on one military base on the East Coast. I think it was in Virginia or North Carolina where those F-22s, those trillion-dollar planes were destroyed and the whole base was destroyed. Billions of dollars. Not just storms, but what about the economic exposure that America is now suffering in the world and seeing her corruption, her hypocrisy, and seeing that she is a succubus. She lives and she expands the empire off blood, guts, and debt. Right? And she must continue to execute wars to try to maintain empire. Even though her coffers are empty, she needs wars to try to continue to put the fake aid or the charade over on the people. This charade is no longer working. Muhammad says, divine plague and foreign wars are now destroying the American standard of life and money. So it's taking a toll domestically. Look around. Infrastructure. Trillions and trillions of dollars worth of infrastructure collapsing. Right? Bridges and toll bridges and all of this just collapsing. Buildings falling down. Sinkholes everywhere. Right? And then you look at the money. There's no sound backing. So it's taking its toll on the financial landscape of the American empire. He goes further and says, her deceitful, filthy temptations now being displayed before her once slaves in the world are designed to make the once slaves an enemy of his God and of his own salvation, and are designed to make them take part with them against the aim and purpose of God. That's why he got this housewife of Atlanta and putting you all on TV and talking all raggedy, all on the internet and all on radio. You're saying everything. You're cussing at everybody. You're talking about your body parts. You're calling your women hoes. You're doing all. He's doing this to tempt you. He's showing the world the filth that he put inside you to say, look, God, I made him just as filthy as I am. And that's why you hear the tone of the black man today say, some are just as evil as they are. That's why you hear that. Oh, let's go a little further. He says, and are designed to make them take part with them against the aim and purpose of the law, which is to set the so-called Negro in heaven while he lives. A prophecy. This is where I was trying to get to right here. See, I read all that other stuff just to get to this because I want to read to you in context. I don't want to take anything out of its context because one word out of its context or misspoken can give you another meaning of what was supposed to be something else. You understand? And you ain't going to blame me for that. I'm not with that. It says, a prophecy relating to America is mentioned in Isaiah 47:1 as a virgin daughter of ancient Babylon's history. As we all know, America is the last, the greatest, and the richest remaining power of the white nations. But now she has fallen, and prophet Isaiah says, come and sit down in the dust. Humble yourself. Or you are no more called delicate. See, this is what America can't get in her foreign policy, her domestic policy. This is what's driving her mad, that the nations are no longer kowtowing to what she says. The nations are no longer bowing to her will. And they're no longer scared that she might put a warship on their coast because they have an answer for that warship that's sitting off their coast. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, when these wars break out, the nations will have what she has. That's why you don't see these nations sweating and fretting and all up in the uproar because America plants a warship out on their coast. Because the time is against her. And the book says, humble yourself. But you see, even in the midst of degradation, decline, economic rot, and moral decay, she is still arrogant, reaching back into what she used to have and the power that she used to be. And this is what is driving her insane and to make misstep after misstep because she is inebriated on imperial hubris. You understand? So Muhammad says, come and sit down in the dust. Humble yourself, for you are no more to be called delicate. This is what China and them are doing. They are showing America that she is not accepting to the rule anymore. They're showing America that she can be hurt too. You can be touched too. You're not no exception no more. Hell, we got the same economic might as you, plus more. And if you want to take it to the streets, we got guns just as big as yours. This is what China's saying to them. What he said, right? Let me read what he said again. The Chinese minister said, China does not want a trade war, but we are not afraid of it. If someone brings the war to us, we will fight it. Until we win. Isn't that something? What the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, that yellow man, that China yellow man, was made to chase down this white American man in the same manner that he chased down our red Indian brother. You see that right now. Didn't he chase him down economically? Didn't he chase him down across the land? Didn't he put him in hiding? Didn't he break his power and his culture? Look at the Indian here in America. You can barely go one place and see a whole handful of them. The Chinaman was made to do America like that, to break her power in Asia, to expose her for the world to see that the empire no longer has any clothes. As a matter of fact, let's go to this clip. This is a pretty long clip. This is Gregory Mannarino. This was a day and a half ago. And then I'm going to bring you up to date with the latest one that he had late last night, okay? But I'm going to play this one first, and he's going to talk about how China strikes back, right? And how China has the U.S. debt and how this thing works. on here. So I hope you have patience, but check it out, okay? Your brother wouldn't steer you wrong.
All right, my beautiful friends. We have to talk. This is getting really interesting. Let's start off with that. It is a Monday, May 13th, 2019. So here's the main story, and there is a lot. China has now hit back with a series of their own tariffs. I believe most of us knew this was going to happen. No one spoke about it, but it was kind of obvious. If some people actually thought China was going to do nothing, who wrote to me. And I don't understand the way certain people's mentality works, but there was no way China was not going to react. China not only has reacted with a series of their own tariffs, they're now threatening to dump U.S. debt. I want to talk about that. Now, let's back up to yesterday. Yesterday was an epic day, and I'm just wondering if this is a setup, and I want to get your input on this. Larry Kudlow turned on the president like a pit bull terrier. He said publicly, and it was covered all over the world, this went viral, that China is not paying the tariffs, and the American people were going to suffer for it. Then, also from the back door, Goldman Sachs came out saying the same thing. Now, what my big question was, and remains, is why would Larry Kudlow turn on the president like that? Unless this is kind of a setup to let stocks bleed off like they're doing right now. Stocks are down across the board on this news of China retaliation, possible dumping of China treasuries. Stocks are down. But the real question is why? Why would Larry Kudlow, who's been really an unbelievable supporter of the president, all of a sudden turn on him and say something that I've been explaining to people for, I don't know, months and months, that China is not paying the tariffs. It was the American people who are subsidizing this and the American people who are going to get hurt. This is his exact words. Please Google it. I posted article after article yesterday with Larry Kudlow's comments, and it's gone worldwide. And the same thing with Goldman Sachs. So is it real, or is it a ploy to force stocks to drop so they can cut rates and institute more quantitative easing? You have to really wonder, because it doesn't make sense. Okay, so we understand, again, China hit back, stocks are under pressure right now. We'll have to watch how that plays out. Now, let's talk about China's threat of dumping U.S. Treasuries. They're not talking about dumping dollar reserves yet. U.S. Treasuries, just that. Let's stick to that. What people don't understand, I think, for the most part, especially those that are like, buy American, buy American. Yeah, that's all well and good, and it's great. And I want us to buy American, and we need it, and we need to build things here in our country, something I've been explaining for, I don't know, almost a decade, sincerely. But going back to what I said yesterday, why does China hold vast amounts of U.S. debt, vast amounts of U.S. dollar reserves? Not because they like us so much, but because they can pull the strings like they're doing now. They can make threats like they are making now. And I covered yesterday in my video that if the president could find a way, the president and the people that surround him, who I think are mental midgets, and they're giving him bad advice, this would not be a simple task. It would be very complicated. But if the president were able to figure out a way to weaponize the debt, their U.S. debt that China holds, and the U.S. dollar reserves that China holds, weaponize it against China, that would be the right way to handle this. What the president has chosen to do, raising tariffs again, you can't expect a different outcome from doing the same thing. Very bad judgment, in my view. Pretend it's not President Trump. So I know a lot of you are going to get upset, and I'm not beating up on the president. Let's pretend his name is John Smith and he's a Democrat. Let's pretend that for a minute. If John Smith, a Democratic president, were to do the same thing again that he just did and it didn't work, would you expect it to work now? Think about it. Put politics aside. Put the name of the president aside. Understand? You got to disconnect yourself. Otherwise, you can't see. It's meant to blind you. Okay? Now, understanding that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome may actually be the definition of insanity, although it's really not. But let's just say, because a lot of people like to use that, we know this is not going to work. We see what China's doing now, hitting us with their own series of tariffs and now threatening to dump U.S. debt now. China, understand, please, what I'm about to tell you. China, by buying all this U.S. debt, has been literally subsidizing the U.S. economy. We understand how this works. This is what the Federal Reserve has been doing now since 2008, buying vast amounts of U.S. debt. They've been supporting the economy by doing so. So China's been doing the same thing for the longest time. And why? Because we buy their products. Because we buy their products. If we stop, if we say, okay, we're going to buy American, which I would like to see, why does China need to hold all of our treasuries? They don't need to. Why would they need to support our economy? Why would they need to make the U.S. consumer feel stronger so they will buy things that China makes? Does this make sense to you? Think about what I just said. So China now is threatening to dump those treasuries. What will that do to the U.S. economy? Being that we understand, and it's a very simple mechanism, that by buying the debt, just like the Fed is, it supports the economy. If China were to dump the debt, what would it do to the economy? You don't need to have one functioning brain cell to figure it out. Again, and China is going to weaponize it unless the president can figure out a way to flip it with a group of very smart people. All right, got to get together and do that. Very difficult task, no doubt about it, because it would hurt us here. But if he can figure out a way to twist it, it would work. Again, President John Smith, not Donald Trump. John Smith, Democrat, all right? Think of it that way, and maybe you can see clearly. I hope some of you can. Many of you are so blinded by this, and there's no escaping for you. You've been literally trapped, and that's a shame. But maybe now today is the time to break out of that bubble that you've been shoved into or box. So if China does what they're threatening to do, will decimate the U.S. economy, decimate. That's why they hold vast amounts of our debt. And again, they've only been doing it because we're buying their products. If we decide not to, if we buy American, which is a great idea, really is, but understand, we're going to take a hit here. Not only would we take a hit here, but to buy American, like our president is saying, President John Smith, Democrat, that would mean we would need to produce these at a lower cost because the middle class is already almost non-existent here in the United States, having to borrow just to maintain their middle class status. So that would mean the U.S. worker would have to take a pay cut. This is all pretty simple. It should follow a nice line for you. So think about what I am saying, okay? A lot of people don't lay it out like this, and you won't hear it from President John Smith, Democrat. He will not tell you these things. President John Smith, Democrat, did not tell you that China is not paying these tariffs. Larry Kudlow had to tell you. Greg Mannarino had to tell you. President John Smith, Democrat, did not tell you that China would be hitting back with their own series of tariffs. John Smith, Democrat, President, did not tell you that there is the possibility that China could dump their debt. And the only reason why they're holding that debt is because we buy Chinese products. This should really be exceedingly simple for you to understand. So, yeah, sure. Let's build things in America. Absolutely. But let's understand what it means and how it would work. Unfortunately, this whole thing thus far by John Smith, Democrat president, has been handled in a very childish way. He should have thought ahead as to what China would do. He should have thought ahead to a way to deal with the vast debt, U.S. debt that China holds, the vast dollar reserves that China holds. So it's like, you know, how you're planning out a battle. You know, you got to figure out way ahead of time what you're going to do. Right now, it's just like act and let's see what happens. It doesn't work. And doing the same thing again, John Smith, Democrat president, okay, I'm using this abstract dude, didn't outline a lot of these things for the American people before he instituted it. And again, doing the same thing again, expecting a different outcome, is not smart by John Smith, Democrat president. You got it? Anyway, it's amazing that I have to put it into these kind of terms, but this is how some people need to be spoken to, because they're blind. Blind! And that's just the way it is. Anyway, look, I think this video has been very important. I think I'm going to ask you to share this video. Get it out here. So what do we know? Let's summarize. Stocks are under pressure right now. Significant, because China has now decided to hit back with a series of tariffs on our goods. China is now threatening to dump U.S. debt. I told you why. I told you why they were buying the debt, not because they like us so much, but because we're buying their products. If we're not doing that, they're going to dump it. If we're going to enter a trade war, they're going to dump that debt. They're going to rattle that bond market like you cannot believe. That's going to hurt the stock market. That's going to hurt, to a large degree, the U.S. economy. And right now, there seems to be no exit. Understand that. There's no exit. It seems just like escalation here. And many of you...
You hear that? No exit. It seems like escalation. Now, he said some words, and I'm going to try to say a few words because I want to try to get into this next clip, too, because this next clip is just as long. I might not let it go on as long, but it's very, very important that you hear this. And if I don't get a chance to play the other clips that I have, we'll do a part two of this series Thursday if they don't block me off the air again, okay? But it's two things that he said. He says the people are blind. They're walking around blind. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that, and he told us about how the people are walking around. It's high noon on Judgment Day, and they are blind, deaf, and dumb. Now, Mr. Manarino said that the people seem to not want to know. And he talks about how blind they are. But according to the dictionary, the word blind means unable to see because of injury, disease, or a congenital condition, lacking perception, awareness, or discernment. This is what I'm saying. You're so occupied, preoccupied with foolishness, with sport, with play, with all of this madness, that you are lacking mental perception or mental awareness or the capacity to discern what is actually taking place. And 1 minute you're in the moment of it, and as soon as somebody shows you some pictures of foolishness in you, it's out of your mind. It's out of your mind. And then he said something that was very, very important. And he bore witness to what I've been telling you. Forget what these people continue to say about China's economy imploding. Maybe it will. Who cares? But what we're talking about is the American economy. See, they always try to pass the buck on somebody else. And I told you what Kudlow said one time a few months ago. I just talked to you about it when he talked about We're in a better position, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the article in front of me anymore, but he was talking about because China has our debt. That's to our benefit, that China has our debt, and we can use that against them and blah, blah, blah. Mr. Manarino says that if China decides, and he explained to you that Treasury and the bond thing were two different things, and he told you that if China decides to drop the debt that they're holding, it will decimate, the word he used, D-E-C-I-M-A-T-E, decimate, which is a verb. And let me read the definition of it. To select by lot and kill every tenth man of, to exact a tax of 10% from, to reduce drastically, especially in number. And here it is. This is the main one you should be looking at. To cause great destruction or devastation or harm to. This is what he said, that if China just drops that bomb. But this is not what you're getting from the people. They're not telling you these things because they don't want you to know the reality of the time. The empire's on its last leg. I continue to tell you these things. She's losing everywhere. She's losing, I mean everywhere. Everywhere. I don't know what's going on here. But we've been hit with a bug, brothers and sisters. my virus blocker, you heard the live one, my virus blocker just blocked some of us, so we've been hit hard. Matter of fact, it's coming back. But That only happens to this show, right? If we get this live on there. I'm glad. Actually, I'm glad this stuff happened on the air so that you can see it. You can hear it for yourself. That's why I asked for your financial support to help the Hiram 1355 blog and the Starting Christian Report, because this stuff is, I take a lot of time and labor to do this stuff. A show is not, even though the show may be an hour, I have to look for clips. I have to look over hours and hours of news clips, news, and cut them into clips, read hours and hours of articles and stuff. And then I have other obligations. You understand? But anyway, if you feel the need, then donate to us. That's zakat. That's charity. That's your charity. That's your zakat. But anyway, as I say to you, it is a very bad time for America. And she can't get away from this. She's losing on every end. She's losing with Turkey. She's losing with Russia. She's losing with China. She's losing in Afghanistan. As a matter of fact, let me tell you something. For the last few months, I've been doing 1 to 2 premium articles on Afghanistan alone and telling you the real situation in Afghanistan. It just so happened I did an article with the same name of this show, Behind the Smile of Empire, There's Always Something More Sinister. And I talk about the situation in Asia, right? And I talk about, and I address specifically what's going on in Afghanistan and how you got, and I just got to let you know this, how you have former War Secretary Gates, who was the War Secretary under both George Bush and Obama, talking about they need to stay in Afghanistan or the Taliban will retake all this stuff. Well, brothers and sisters, I have facts in these articles, videos and highlighted areas that you can click on with your mouse, and it shows proof of what I'm saying. And on top of this, in this article, I'm going to show you how on time I am with this stuff because of the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and my sources. I was telling you that America continued to lose district after district after district after district, and I was showing this stuff, showing them maps, everything, in all these articles. And then I told you about how Gates is desperate for something. They see something, trillions of dollars worth of untapped oil, hundreds of billions of dollars in untapped silver and gold. And they say up to $1 trillion in untapped oil and gas in Afghanistan. This is the main driver behind trying to keep the empire in Afghanistan. And one of the other main reasons is it is the underbelly of Russia, Pakistan, India, and especially China and Iran. And I go into depth on a lot of these different articles. You've got to sign up to the premium articles on the Hiram 1555 blog. I'm telling you, you'll get a lot out of it. And just like I said in this article I did yesterday or day before yesterday, then all of a sudden it comes out that Sputnik News, they were talking about the situation. It says, amid growing Taliban strength, Afghan army, which is trained by the U.S. and embedded with U.S. soldiers, pulls back from all of the outposts outside of the smaller territory that they now claim. Do you know, let me say this, brothers and sisters, to show you how bad the empire is falling. Do you know that the article I did a few months ago, at that time, it was estimated, and I have the maps in there, that the Taliban had controlled between 60 and 70% of Afghanistan at the time. And they've captured more and more and more districts and more outposts. And that was months ago. This shows you, this is why America is trying to get a peace treaty. She don't want peace treaties when she's winning. As long as she's winning, she don't want to talk about peace. She want to dictate to you the peace that she wants with the people. But when she's losing, it's all about we need to come to the table. We need to talk. No, you got your bombs, your planes dropping bombs on me and my people all day long. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you got to get this premium articles. You have to get it, especially the one that's titled what this show. And someday, soon, I'm going to have it where you can get on there and get it for free for a week or whatever so that you can try it out or whatever like that. But I'm telling you, it's beautiful because we have to make some dividends to keep the stuff running. And that's the only thing that's charged on the website. Everything else is free. That's just a little small section that is charged. You go pay John Williams and all, John Williams, $300-$400 every 2 months, 3 months, for stuff that I tell you for free on the website and on the show. I've been telling you what Gregory Mannarino is saying for the longest. I'm telling you, America is in trouble. I'm telling you, the Western world is in trouble. I'm telling you that America knows this. This is why she's swinging wild. This is why she's throwing. So what she's doing, in so many words, she's tying, she's got a blindfold around her eyes, right? She knows that the ground beneath her is shaking. And she's just throwing something up against the wall, seeing if anything will stick, so that she can pull herself out before the whole foundation collapses. This is what she's doing. This is why she's in everybody's business, on every continent, in every waterway, talking about somebody else is the cause of destabilization and war provocations. This is America. She's crazy as hell. The times, listen, if God, if I had a God like the God that is whipping America on my back, I'd be crazy as hell, too. This God ain't nothing to play with. He's after America. Remember that America is number one on his list of nations to destroy. Number one, not number two, three, four, or five, but number one. And we are in that time of her destruction. This is what it's hard to get Muslims to understand this, too. Because a lot of us, we have it ingrained in our mind. And I'm not saying anything bad about this, but I'm just explaining something to you. We have this ingrained in our brain. Christians do this too now. Of the way we are used to it, right? And therefore, when somebody bring it to you in real time, it's hard for you to accept it because you really can't perceive it, right? You're blind to the deeper meanings of it. Just like that. Just like the definition, you're blind to it, so you can't accept it. You don't want to eat it. You don't want to taste it. You don't want to swallow it. You don't want it to digest in your stomach. You don't want to be filled up by it because this is not something that you wanted. But remember, it's almost like this. And my wife is a good example of this. Sometimes she'll be eating certain things, and she's eating them for years around me. She'll always ask, you want something? No. I don't want that. I don't like it. How do you know you don't like it? It just don't look good. It just don't look like I like it. It just don't look, right? And then one time I tried something that she said, just try it, please. And I tried, and I've been eating it ever since. I was against it. I was rebuffing it. I was doing all that I could to not try to eat it or digest. And there was something that when I took a bite, I fell in love with it. The same with you. Some of you can't process it because you're stuck in a period of time. But remember that time moves on, and it waits for no man or woman. And as I try to put it to you, as with a mortgage or something, there's stipulations in the mortgage, right? Right? And certain things must be done in certain periods. If they are not done in certain periods, then it voids other sections of your mortgage, whether it's a car note or a house note or whatever. It voids certain sections of your mortgage, right? And then it is up to the lender to see whether or not they want to honor the rest of the mortgage or just do away with it and evict you or do whatever, right? This is the same way time works. Time does not wait for anybody. And some of you can't see that prophecy moves on, and there has to be a fulfilling of it. It can't just go on indefinitely, or else it wouldn't be prophecy. Right? There must be a rolling up point. And right now we're in the rolling up point. The scrolls are being rolled up for America in the Western world. This is why they're fighting like hell to try to maintain what little wealth, what little power, what little influence that they have. And they are making an all-out scramble to try to prevent another pole or another power from coming in. And they're prepared to go to war economically. You see it going on politically. Don't you see it in the media? The West demonizes everybody that don't agree with them, that don't kowtow to them and don't bow to them. You see it going on. That's a political move. That's what you see in the press. These are the scribes of the day. They're writing the line of the government that they're under. So they're waging a subliminal war on you through the newspapers, through the radio, through the TV, through the magazine, and then to hit you one more time, they flood your culture with it. And they'll say either you're hip or you're not. Either you're hip or you're hot or you're not. Huh? This is how they do you. So they're waging a war on your mind, but they're waging a war on your pockets too. To bring you, if you don't go along with this, then you can't prosper in this society like they want you to prosper. All right? And then the next level, after the economic sanctions, is the threat. Don't you see the threatening of America is threatening everybody? And then you see the prepositioning of war materials. Right? Like when you get ready to fight somebody and you realize that all reasoning is out the door. Whether you admit it or not, you position yourself. You might be saying to yourself, if this person walked one step closer to me, you start getting yourself right. I'm just going to have to do this and I'm going to do that. You're positioning yourself for war because everything else failed, diplomacy, economic sanctions, all of that, threats, everything. So the next step is war. This is where we're moving toward because America refuses to give up without a fight. She refuses to give in, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. You can't blame her. And I'm paraphrasing. Well, a man riding on a horse that don't want to get off, you got to throw him off. This is the time that America don't want to get off that horse. She's been riding so long in the saddle, and she don't want to get out. So you got to throw her out of the saddle. So these are what the wars and the weather patterns and the economic collapse and the civil insurrection and strife and the color divide and the wealth divide and the isolation of the empire, right, and the implosion of the American empire domestically, and then her being isolated internationally. All of these things are there to bring about the fall of the greatest and the strongest pillar of white colonialism, white supremacy, and white exceptionalism that has been in the annals of the last 6,000 years. This is America. She's under the gun now. And I'm not talking about the gun that she made. She's under the divine gun. She's going to be made to sit in the dust. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. As this thing intensifies, as me and Rashid and Brother Jerry used to laugh about it on the phone sometimes, when this thing go down, you know how America always demonizing the peso, as Brother Rashid say, brother, the dollar going to be looking up to the peso. This thing is going to get bad. Food is going to be scarce. Just, why do you think all these alternative websites just popped up? And why do you think they're talking about survivalism and prepperism and all this stuff? Like they weren't talking about that 40 years ago when everything was going good. They weren't talking about that after the American dollar was bar none the currency around the world. When they were getting their thrills and their loans and get all this land and get all of these supplies. So why are they talking about it now? Why are they making preparations now? You know why? Because they see fire coming. They see an end of the American Republic, and almost every last one of them will admit that America is falling. Every last one of them will admit that America, the American Republic, is in dire straits. Almost every last one of them will say that, yes, it's a mathematical certainty that America will fall. Then they'll come to but negating everything they said before. After the fall, if we do this, if the Patriots get together, man, the Patriots, the Bills, and everybody else can get together and play ball, and they're not going to win this championship. Because the divine hand is against us, and the die has been cast against the American Republic. This is an end of an era. This is the end of the Republic of America. So, as you look upon these things, don't fret, don't look bad, don't be mad, don't act sick, don't act silly, smile. The book says when you see all these things, look up, be happy, smile. Why? Because your redemption is not. All of these things must take place for you to be saved, for separation to come about. Not the separation some of you are talking about. There will